You enjoy that good singing this morning, say amen. Amen. Thank you, son. Take your Bibles this morning, turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter number 17. 1 Samuel chapter number 17. Probably some very, very familiar scripture for most of us. One of my favorite stories in the Bible. Without even looking at it, how many by the show of your hands you already know what the story is of 1 Samuel 17? Not a whole lot. Let me refresh your memory. There's a story here about a boy named David and a great big man by the name of Goliath. Is it sounding a little more familiar now? David and Goliath. I had this thought I was thinking on all week long while I was gone. The Henson family sang a song about the battles that rage in our life and the things that we face. And you know, I don't know how you think about it, but sometimes to me, my problems seem bigger than I am. Can I get a witness? David walked down into the valley and he faced a giant of a man. I don't know his exact height, but we do know that he was over 9 feet tall. Is that right, Brother Freddie? He was a whopper. I mean, a great big dude. And David was just a boy. Sometimes our problems in life, if we're not careful, can overwhelm us. Amen. Do you ever sit down at the table with the bills? Come on, y'all don't get sick on me. Do you ever sit down at the table with the bills and your calculator and a pad and a pen and just under your breath you pray, Lord, if just one day, just one time we could get ahead. Y'all rich folk don't know what I'm talking about. But most of us have been there. It seems like the end of the month comes and there's more bills than there is paycheck. Oh yeah. And then when it gets real bad like that and the dryer goes out. And there's water coming out from under the refrigerator. And your wife comes in from work and says, honey, I don't know what it is, but there's a red light blinking on my dash. It just seems like it begins to snowball. I remember when I worked in the public sector as a plumber and I would have a good week and we'd do what we called side jobs. We'd come home from work and then go do a job somewhere else. And I always thought side job, you know, my extra, I thought that was my extra. Can I get a witness right there? And no matter what, it seemed like the harder you worked, the more you owed. I couldn't understand it. My wife at that time handled our finances. I had to fire her, but anyway, she did. She paid our bills, and I would work all week long and kill myself and then come in and grab a bite to eat and go back out and do it again. And man, I thought, wait, we ought to be rich. And I'd say, honey, I need some money. I'm going to buy a new shotgun. She said, no, you ain't buying no shotgun. You ain't even buying no shells. Am I right about it? Seemed like it no matter what I did. You ever heard the old saying, 3 steps forward and 2 steps back? Every time you try to advance, it just seems like something pushes you back a little farther. I've been there. I live there. But it need not always be that way. I've made this statement oftentimes from this pulpit. We're going to have problems. The Lord said, in this life ye shall have tribulations. We're going to face them. But we need not live a downtrodden life. We ought to have bad days, not bad weeks. I said we ought to have bad days, not bad months or bad years. Our song should not be for the normal part or the usual part, woe is me. Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. I guess I'll go eat worms. That shouldn't be our everyday song. Our everyday song, what should be the norm for us is, I heard an old, old story. How a Savior came from glory. Victory in Jesus. That ought to be the normal for us. You say, preacher, I must not be normal. because that's not the norm for my life. It seems like my life is filled with more bad than good, more hard than easy, more heavy than light. I'm praying for you. And I hope I can help you this morning. 1 Samuel chapter number 17, we know the story. David's father sent him to take some lunch to his brothers who were in the army. And David wasn't yet old enough to be suited up for battle, so he was just a little errand boy taking lunch to his brothers. And when he got there, he said he found this uncircumcised Philistine. Anytime you see that word Philistines or Philistines, however you want to say it, anytime you see that word in the Bible, that is a representative or a picture of the world or the devil, our enemy. The Philistines were the enemy of the armies of God. And now the Bible said that the Philistines had a champion. A champion, a giant of a man. And he stood over here on this mountaintop, and the armies of Israel stood over here, and this Philistine stood over here daring them. He said, send somebody out that we may fight. And he was cursing and taking the Lord's name in vain, taunting them every way he could. But like us, sometimes we feel we're no match for the giants in our life. An entire army against one man. That's stupid if you even think about it. Wouldn't you think? I would hate to know that one fella, the biggest fella in this county, I don't even know who he is, probably Rusty, the biggest guy in this county, I'd hate to know that he come in here and wanted to mess with this preacher this morning. You say, why, preacher, because you bad? No, but he is. And he is, and he is, and he is, and he is. Are you listening? But yet we find an entire army overwhelmed, afraid of one man, till this kid comes down the road. David comes up and David said, hey, who's that guy over there running his mouth? David, hush. No, y'all don't hear what he's saying. He just took the Lord's name in vain. What are y'all doing standing here shaking in your boot? Somebody go down there and whoop that dude. Yeah. I'm translating, okay? You'll find that in the RNV, the redneck version. He said, why don't somebody go down there and whoop that guy till the smoke alarm goes off? Beat him like a drum. Knock his running lights out. They said, David, hush. Hush, David. That's easy for you to say. You just a punk, wet behind the ears kid. That guy kill all us by himself, David said. Foot, my hind leg. I'm pretty good with this slingshot I got right here. With me and God together, he ain't nothing. We know the story. He walks down in the valley. He stops in the creek and he picks up five smooth stones. Somebody said, why five? He didn't have faith in the first one? Yeah. Goliath had four brothers. He was ready for all of them. Amen. We sang the little song in children's church when I was growing up. Only a boy named David, only a little sling. And that's all it was. Just a little boy. Just a little sling. But with God on his side. That giant with his spear the size of a weaver's beam and his sword was no match for a slingshot, a boy, and God. That makes the majority. As big as that giant was, as big as that problem was, hey, as big as your giant is, as big as your problem is, as big as your difficulty is, it's no match for you, your Bible, and a person named God. Amen. But we know the story. He slings a sling around his head, lets a rock go, hits the giant in the forehead. I said in the forehead, in the front. If I hit CJ in the head with a ball bat, he's going backwards. Is that right? I know y'all heard this 1,000 times, but it's just good. That rock hit him in the forehead and he fell forward. Why'd he fall forward? Brother Earl Hughes said, about the time that rock got to his forehead, God reached down from heaven and slapped him in the back of the head. Amen. I'll be honest with you. I've been hit with rocks. Ain't there nothing killed me, ever you, Stacy? I've been hit with rocks. Normally you wouldn't kill a giant with a rock. I don't think it had so much to do with a rock. I think it had more to do with the God. Amen. So let me read you some scripture and kind of a silly thought, but a serious thought this morning. 1 Samuel 17 and verse number 45. Then David said to the Philistine. Now notice, he's talking to the enemy. Notice, he is addressing his problem. Notice, he's facing his giant. David said to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield." Physical weapons. Natural weapons. He said, "But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied." Notice what David said. David said, "You're coming at me with your natural things. You're coming at me with your worldly things. You're coming at me with those things made by the hands of men." He did not, David, when he responded, he did not even mention them five smooth stones. Not one time. Brother Freddie, he didn't mention the sling. He said, "You're coming to me with a sword and a spear and a shield." He said, "But I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord." Enough said. I like that. Look at verse number 46. I like this too. He said, "This day, maybe if I'll pray real hard, this day, maybe if I'm real faithful, this day, maybe if the Lord will find favor." No, he said, "This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee." I like this part. "And take thine head from thee." He said, "I'm going to chop your head off. And I'll give the carcass of the host of Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." Man, notice his motive. Look at verse 49. David put his hand in his bag, took thence a stone and slang it. That's a good country word, ain't it? Took a stone and slang it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. Wow. Verse 51. Therefore David ran, stood upon the Philistine. Just picture this in your head. Took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him. Watch this. And cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. Look at verse 54. And David took say the next word with me. Head of the Philistine, and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. Look at verse 57. And as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul. Watch this, with the what? With the head of the Philistine in his hand. I want to speak to you on this thought this morning. How to get ahead in the battle. How to get ahead in the battle. David walked off holding in his hand by the hair the thing that was causing trouble in Israel. David not only solved his problems, but he solved the nation's problem by just placing his faith and his trust in God. Amen. How many of you would like to get ahead in the battle? How many of you would like to chop the head off your bills? How many of you would like to chop the head off of your messed up marriage? I'm not talking about your spouse. Somebody said amen right there. How many of you would like to get ahead, chop the head off of what it is that's tormenting you night and day? How many of you would like to take the sword and chop the head off of what's luring away your teenager? I want to learn how to get ahead in battle. I want to learn how to walk away the victor instead of the victim. How about you? Y'all sure are quiet this morning. Why don't y'all wake up a little bit? I don't know about you, but I want to learn how to get ahead in the battle. I want to learn how to be on the winning side for a change instead of the downtrodden side for a change. I want to be on the shouting side. We used to sing that song, I am on the winning side. I am on. Hey, look, I've read the back of the book, brother and sister, and we win. Oh, yes. I ain't never hit a woman before. But I thought I might have to Monday. I was sitting in the airport waiting on my flight, and there's this woman sitting about three seats from me. And she had this little bitty book in her hand. And I could tell on the cover when she started to open it, Brother Todd, it was written in Hebrew. It was a Koran. And she sat there and she started mumbling, sound like a motorcycle idling. Just being honest, that's what it sounded like. A motorcycle idling and skipping. And she, and all of a sudden she stood up and she turned about face. She looked away from the book. She said, she was facing Mecca. She was praying to Allah. She sat back down, read a little more, got up, looked that way again. She did that about 7-8 times. Finally, she quit. I said, ma'am, what flight you on? She thought I was hunting information. I just need to know whether I need to figure out where I can whoop her or not. Hey, man. I was fixed to say, look here, you get out of line, I'm going to go Todd Beamer on you. I'm going to holler, let's roll. Hey, man. Sometimes we face things. Dangers. I prayed for that woman. God, if she's going to blow this plane up, kill her now. Amen. You say, preacher, you crazy. I'm here this morning. Hallelujah. She got on another flight going somewhere else. And I was very thankful. I want to point some things out to you in this story this morning that I believe will help you to get ahead in the battle. To be the victor instead of the victim. The shouter instead of the sire. Amen. The celebrator instead of the crier. There's times we need victory in our lives. Won't you look with me at chapter 16 and verse number 13. I'm going to show you several things and I'll run through them quickly. Try to get you out before children's church. They've been getting mad at me. I ain't never had nobody mad at me because I quit preaching too quick. They've been saying, preacher, you ain't holding them long enough. So if I keep y'all a long time, it ain't my fault. Amen. Chapter 6 and verse number 13. I want you to, or chapter 16 and verse number 13. I want you to notice, first of all, that David enlisted in the battle. Listen to me carefully. David enlisted in the battle. It's hard to win a war that you're not fighting. Can I say it again? It's hard to win a fight that you're not fighting. I was watching on TV a while back and they was talking about them pacifists. That's a Greek word, means idiot. Amen. Pacifist. Y'all know what a pacifist is? That ain't what you stick in a baby's mouth. A pacifist is somebody who you can slap them upside their head and they'll just turn the other cheek. You said, ain't that what the Bible said? Yeah, but you can hit the other cheek. You all out of cheeks. When you run out of cheeks, pop them in the eye. Amen. They were showing this thing about a pacifist and they were ridiculing him and picking on him and beating him down because of his faith and that's what he believed. And by the way, don't try that stuff around here. I ain't got none of them in my church. Oh, no, no. These people ain't all the way saved. They'll beat you down. Amen. I ain't got no pacifist around here. But there's no way to win a fight when you never lift your hands in defense. There's no way to win a battle when you never draw your sword. There's no way to win a battle when you never pick up the weapons of our defense. Hey, we've got to enlist in the battle. We got too many Christians wanting to remain unaffiliated. Neutral. I'm probably going to hair lip somebody right here, but I'm used to it. Why do you think the popular thing in America is don't put any denomination on your sign? Non-denomination. What is that? What is it? You know what it means? I'm going to tell you. Be careful now before you get hot with me. They don't stand for nothing. They don't stand for nothing. They call us fighting fundamentalists. Well, bless God, I got something worth fighting for. I signed up. I'm in the army of God. The Bible said, earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. The Bible said to war a good warfare. He said to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Don't tell me we ain't got something to fight for. Now, there's a bunch out there fighting over stuff that I wouldn't waste my time even thinking about. But there's some things worth fighting for. It's time we get past this neutral gray area and get involved. There's interviewing people who saw a hit and run accident on the news. And one lady said, I don't want to be involved. You're chicken. You would rather have the giants of life just run over you and beat you down and destroy your home while you sit there mealy-mouthed and cowardice when you got a God on your side? I said, good God Almighty, when you got a God on your side that's never lost a battle, He's never been afraid, He's never been worried, and there you are. Acting like a little whoop dog. It may be time to enlist. Verse 13, the Bible said Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him, talking about David, in the midst of his brethren. Watch this. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose and went to Ramah. David enlisted in the battle. The reason some of you are losing this morning, you ain't never signed up. The reason some of you are going backward instead of forward. Hey, listen, I don't want to sound mealy-mouthed to you this morning. I'm not going backward. I am going forward. I have more good days than bad. I have more joyful songs than sad. I'm telling you, God's been good to me. You know why? Because I signed up. I put my name on the dotted line. And I said, Lord, if there's a fight, count me in. I'm not going to lay down. Poke my head under my pillow and hope it goes away. Amen. Amen. I'm going to fight. I'm getting tired so many people, and I ain't talking necessarily about you. Unless the shoe fits. If it does, put it on and run with it. I'm tired of people whining about ain't got no job when they ain't looking. Well, I could get a job over here. This, somebody honestly said this to me. I could get a job over at so-and-so, but I'd have to take a pay cut. Brother Todd, I was real bad in math in school. I know you're a math guru. Pay cut. How much would you have to go from nothing? Just because you used to make $50,000 a year and now you ain't making squat. Squat, that's another one of them Greek words. You got to go to Bible college to get that. Y'all listen. Let me tell you something. Before I let that green-eyed woman go without something to eat, she gets hungry, she gets mean. I'd be down yonder at McDonald's flipping hamburgers. Oh, bless God, not me. I'll come get your garbage. I'll cut your grass. I'll walk your dog. It's time to enlist. It's time to get aggressive. It's time to act. Are you listening? We need to get on the offense for a change. We need to go after this thing for the cause of Christ. We need to get busy for God. We need to face our problems head on. Are you listening? We need to enlist in the battle. David had his priorities right. He wasn't lazy. He was a hard-working boy. Amen. Oh, yeah. He was at home. You know what else he did? He obeyed his father. I tell you, man, it's hard to beat obedience. Well, I don't know why God ain't blessing me. You didn't do the last thing He told you to do. Amen. I don't know why God won't show me His will. You ain't doing what you know His will is now. But David was obeying his father. He was doing his job. He was keeping the sheep. Then his daddy come, interrupted his day and said, take your brother some lunch. I don't think he rolled his eyes. I don't think he rolled his eyes and huffed and put his hands on his hip. In the home where I grew up, that was a request. That meant slap my face as hard as you can. Didn't it, Stacy? That's what that meant. Yeah. You put your hand on your hip and roll your eyes. That meant hit me right smack in my mouth because I love pain. Amen. He was just being, hey, that's what enlistment involves. Have I got any soldiers in here this morning? Any soldiers? I'm talking about real United States. Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, National Guard. Any soldier, right there. What's the first thing you learn when you get off that bus?
Keep your mouth shut.
Keep your mouth shut and what else? Do what you're told.
Yes, sir.
What happens when you don't do what you're told?
Pay the consequences.
Yeah, things get bad, don't they?
Yeah.
Things get real bad. Now listen now, we're thinking military this morning. Is it bad? Does it seem like all hell's broke loose on you? Does it seem like the devil's turned loose every one of his bulldogs and everyone latched onto your hind end? Huh? I wonder if it's just consequences of being disobedient to the Father. The first thing of enlistment is setting our priorities right and then obeying. David enlisted. Hey, and God's not hard to obey. He doesn't ask us anything difficult. Somebody said, oh, living for the Lord, it's hard. I'd get saved, but I think I can't live it. Y'all got that thing backwards, friend. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy. It's easy to live a Christian life. Boy, it got quiet there. The Bible said the way of a transgressor is hard. Y'all need to sign up this morning. You letting this world lie to you. Any of y'all watched any of them specials about Michael Jackson? I'm sorry, I did. A, B, C, 1. I watched his whole life story, man. Here's what I noticed about Michael. When Michael was a little boy with the Jackson 5, you never saw that kid without a smile on his face. From ear to ear, dancing his little rear end off. Afro that big around. And he wasn't that big around. Singing, boy. But as his life grew, somebody said, oh, if I just had money. He built Six Flags in his house. The man had his own zoo. He didn't have to pay to go see no monkeys. He had some. Had to take a double handful of pills just to try to sleep at night. Somebody said he had all them surgeries because he didn't want to be white. He didn't want to be white. You know what he wanted to be? That little 7-8-year-old boy with a grin from ear to ear, happy, he couldn't have no peace. I'm telling you, the Bible said the way of the transgressor is hard. They ain't got the good life. All these teenage girls thinking, oh, Lindsay Lohan. Lindsay Lohan? She's a scum bucket. Oh, yeah. What about them little Olsen twins? They was so cute. What was that show they was in? Full House. They was the cutest little brats. You just wanted to slap them. Oh, they were wholesome girls. Look at them now. I'm telling you, man, you'd be much better off if you'd just sign up with God. This world ain't got nothing for you. It wants to destroy you. It wants to beat you down. It wants to take your peace, your joy, and your happiness, and it'll leave you with nothing. Elvis Presley was the king, he said. I got news for you, Elvis. You never was the king. You never will be the king. You know what he had? He had two bags of pills. Bedtime and daytime. Bedtime and daytime. He had to have pills to put him down. And had to have pills to get him up. Millionaire. had his own airplane. Me and my wife and my mother-in-law got on it. That's after he is dead, of course. But we got on it, walked around. We saw the mansion where he lived. Graceland, yeah, we've been there. All that. And killed himself a pill. Why? He wasn't happy. You want happy, you sign up with God. You listening to me? I know it ain't all a bed of roses, and yes, we have troubles, and yes, we have tribulation, but we got somebody that'll walk in the battles with us. We got somebody that'll go in the funeral home with us. We got somebody that'll go in the operating room with our sons. Hallelujah unto God. We ought to just give Him praise. Somebody clap your hands this morning. We in a fight, but we ain't by ourselves. David hadn't had God with him. He wouldn't have went down there. David enlisted in the battle. Don't you look at verse number 20. This thing, I never saw this before. Not only did he enlist in the battle, he was excited about it. Seriously, chapter 17, verse number 20. See if I can find it. Where is it? There it is. The Bible said David rose up early in the morning doing what his daddy told him. Left the sheep with the keeper. And took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to fight. Watch this. And he what? Shouted. Y'all looking at that? Yeah. And he shouted for what? For the battle. You know what he's doing? He's cheering them on. He was cheering that bunch of cowards on. I mean, boy, I don't know about you, but every time I see those guys in the military, I was in Fort Hood over there with Brother Eric a few weeks ago, and there's probably over 1,000 soldiers in that airport. That does something to me, man. That makes me feel safe. There was some coming from Iraq. There was some going. I wanted to stand up in the middle of that airport and say, "Get them, boys!" That's what David was saying. That crowd was a marching sun in all their array. They had their banners before them. They had their swords and their shields and their helmet. And old David saw all that. And he said, "Wow." He said, "Get her done, boys. Let them have it, son. Let her rip." He was cheering them on. He was excited about the battle. We ought to get excited about the battle. Can I remind you? You said, "Preacher, I got a problem." Let me tell you about something. Let me tell you about something you may not even realize. Sunday before last, I preached out there to them young'uns in junior church, Brother Michael. Had 13 say.
Amen.
Last Sunday, we come back in this place. Good to see you, brother. We come back in this place last Sunday. 13 say. That's 26 in 2 weeks.
That's right.
Ain't bad, is it? We ought to get excited about this thing. You goofy, crazy, ain't got half a brain in his head preacher just flew up and preached to a bunch of Yankees that don't half understand what I say. I be preaching them women poking their husband. "What did he say? What did he say?" I said, "The South's going to do it again, ma'am." Went up there, just reared back, acted a fool about like I'm doing now. Read some Bible, exalted God. 46. I said 46. Got born again. Y'all can't get excited about that. Shoot yourself. You crippled too high for crutches, friend. Hey, man, that's exciting stuff. He was excited about the battle. Are you listening? Had a little old girl on Tuesday. Her name's Heather. Y'all pray for her. She's 16 years old. Heather. She came from Rochester, New York. And I know I ain't shooting at nobody this morning. I'm just describing this girl. She had them black fingernails. She had that gothic thing going on. You know what that is? They don't want to live. Your kid starts all that, I don't care if they tell you it's cool. It ain't cool.
Amen. Amen.
All that represents nothing but death, friend.
That's right.
She sat there like a stone in the service, Levi, with the evilest look on her face. While I'm preaching, I was scared to look at her. I was like, ooh. I figured she had crow's feet and frog legs and stuff in her pocket. casting some voodoo on me or something. And I asked the preacher after service, I said, you see that girl over there? He said, uh-huh. I said, what's up with her? He said, preacher, her daddy made her come. She don't believe there ever has been a God. She don't believe there ever will be a God. What happened was somebody in her family raped her. See, sometimes it's deeper than what you see on the surface. Sometimes it ain't just a punk. Sometimes it ain't just a thug. There's an underlying reason. And she couldn't believe in a God that let that happen to her. I'm trying to get you excited about the battle. Thursday afternoon, before I left my motel room, I got down there and I said, God, if Heather don't see that you're real, she's going to die and go to hell. You know what happened Thursday night? You know what happened Thursday night? Heather bowed her head, asked Christ to come in her heart. First time we've seen her smile all week long. She's one of those people who walked around with that null and void. Lights is on, but ain't nobody home. Null and void look on her face. That's the way she looked. I walked in that cafeteria after that service. She was bubbly. Hadn't spoke to an adult. Oh, I walked over to Brother Fred. I said, your name Heather? She said, yes, sir. I said, Heather, did you have a good service? She said, no, preacher, I had a great service. I got saved tonight. I said, so you no longer don't believe there's a God? She said, he's real. I know he's real. Good God, look on you. Ought to get excited. I said, we ought to get excited about the battle. It's a good fight we're in. We ought to enlist for it. Preacher, you having that much fun? Sign me up. Yes, I am. Yes, I wish y'all could be with me. Not in the hotel room or nothing, but in these services, I wish y'all could go. Lord have mercy. He was excited. We need to get excited about salvation. It ought to thrill us. Somebody going to go out and see how many we had saved this morning. Come in here and let me know. I don't care what y'all think. I'm going to get excited about it. Amen. He enlisted in the battle. He was excited about the battle. Then David, in verse 29, y'all look at it. David examined the battle. David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? Let me wind this thing down before the kids gets out. Listen to me. David looked at the enemy, but then David looked at his cause. You know what David decided? David decided that his cause was greater than the crowd. You know the first people to discourage him when he got there? His family. His own brothers. What are you doing here, you punk? You supposed to be over here. Oh, I mean, they got on him, Stacy.
Amen, brother.
First people to discourage you. Oh, they want you to quit drinking. They want you to quit shooting dope and smoking crack.
Yeah, preach, bro.
They don't want you to be a fanatic or nothing.
Yeah, right.
You get on fire for God, somebody in your family go, now you've gone just a little bit too far.
Yeah, right.
Can I ask you a question? I'm just a simple country boy. What's too far with God? Well, where's that line at? Uh-oh, I'm too spiritual. Oh, wait a minute, I'm learning too much about the Bible. Brother Fred, don't tell me nothing else. Overload. Well, I've won 10 people to Christ. I'll quit and die. What's too far? Levi, have you found too far? Brother Todd, have you found too far? Man, Brother Freddie can walk on water. Have you found too far? I'm telling you, man, have you found a place that was too far? Have you ever felt like you was too close to God? Have you ever felt like you prayed too much? Have you ever felt like you praised Him too much? Somebody help me this morning. Our cause is bigger than our crowd. Yeah. Then he decided that his cause was greater than his critics. The king told him, said, you ain't nothing but a kid, man. He said, well, here, if you go and take my armor. Saul.
Saul was none but a wuss, man. You know what the Bible said? The Bible said he stood head and shoulders above everybody else. Why didn't he go whooping? All he wanted was a title. He hadn't enlisted. David said, I didn't come for your permission, Jack. I just letting you know I'll be back here in a little while with that sucker's head. Oh, we got some critics around here. Some of y'all been rolling your eyes this morning. Oh, yeah. Be careful. I'll pick them up and roll them right back at you. Oh, yeah. Oh, bad attitude ain't going to slow me down. Amen. I ain't going to slack up because you don't like it. Somebody said, preacher's too crazy. He's too loud. He's too long. Well, bless God, take me or leave me. I ain't changing. Why? Why? Because my cause is bigger than my critics. Amen. You better get the place where you enlist. You better come to the place where you get excited about this thing. Amen. And you better come to the place where you examine your battles and realize your cause is bigger than your giants. Amen. I got to hurry. Hurry the preacher rest this tonight. He examined the battle. But then he exalted Christ in the battle. Look at verse number 47. This is key things, people. You want to win? I'm giving you a game plan right here this morning. Verse number 47. He said that all this assembly shall know. Know what? That the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's. And He will give you into our hand.
Amen.
Make no mistake about it. Make no mistake about it. I'm just a boy. My problem is bigger than me, but my problem's no match for my God. He don't need a sword. He don't need a shield. Brother and sister, He's finna take you out. Y'all remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? When I was little, I thought it was Shadrach, Meshach, and a billy goat. I really... Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They told him, said we're gonna fire that furnace up if y'all don't bow and pray to these false gods. They said, fire it up, man. We ain't praying. They said, we're going to throw you in there. Chunk us in there. Here's what they told him. If you do, our God is able to deliver us.
Yes, He is.
Yeah. Amen. You better begin to exalt Christ in your battles. The only way you can do that is it's got to sink into you this morning. God is bigger. Oh, the economy. God is bigger. Oh, I don't got a job. God is bigger. Oh, my health is failing. God is bigger. Why, instead of exalting the problems and magnifying the problems and the heartaches and the faults and the failure, why don't we exalt the Lord? He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Hey, quit whining and start praising Him a little bit. You might just be surprised what He'll do. You know what I think the Lord said? The Lord said, did y'all hear that? That youngin' really thinks I'm fixing to do something. He believes that with all his heart. Be careful how I say this. Do you know why you will go in debt to the point you can't pay it back in a year? So that something will be under that tree on December 25th morning? You know why you'll do that? You know why you'll go to any expense, any length? Do you know why? Because them little boys and girls you tucked in believes it with all their heart. God's no different than you. God said, that boy believes me with all his heart. Them three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they believe I'm going to deliver them out of that fire. I better get down there and get in that fire myself and get them out of there. Hey, by the way, didn't nothing burn but the ropes that had them tied up. Hallelujah. Maybe if we'd start exalting Him a little bit this morning. Just like tried, it ain't going to hurt you. You stuck up Baptist, it won't hurt you. Clap your hands. Let's exalt the Lord. Somebody say, bless His name. Bible said He inhabits our praise. Bless God, we praise everything else enough. He exalted Christ.
in the battle. He was confident in his God.
Amen.
Then he gave credit to his God. He said, "I wasn't me, it was him."
Amen.
Amen. I said, "Preacher, you had a great week." "Wasn't me, it was him. I didn't save them 46 people." Had one little kid stood up in the back of the tent and said, "Brother Eddie, save me." I said, No, God saved you. I just told you how to get there.
Yeah.
Amen. I was just a man at the gas station, gave you directions. That's all I was.
Yeah.
Amen. David exalted Christ in the battle. Now watch this, and I'm done. Then David eliminated the enemy in the battle. He enlisted in the battle. He examined the battle. He got excited about the battle. He exalted Christ in the battle, and then he eliminated the enemy of the battle. Verse 54. This is it. I'm done. I like this. And David took the head of the Philistine. I know I've got a sick mind, but I love it when the enemy gets their heads chopped off. Come on.
That's right.
Don't y'all?
Yeah.
You do. You just won't admit it. Oh, yeah. We used to cheer for Superman. All our cartoon heroes. When the bad guy got it, yeah. Batman, bip, bam, boom. Y'all remember that? Is it just me? I like it when the enemy loses. There's something when I read over there where the devil's bound with the chain and the angels chunks him off into hell. I like it. He's given me so much trouble. He's given me so many problems. I like it when the enemy is defeated.
Amen.
How many would you like? How many of you like it? How many would you like it if your marriage was fixed?
Yeah.
Instead of shaky, it got strong all of a sudden.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you listening? How many of you would like it if that loved one put down that crack pipe?
Yeah.
How many of you would like it if they wasn't a minus in front of the balance on your checkbook?
Yeah.
How many of you would like it if that good job you applied for, they called you in the morning and said, "Come on in, the job's yours."
Yeah.
I ain't in here by myself.
Amen.
I like it when the enemy loses.
Yes.
Somebody said, "I'll cheer for the underdog." Not me, brother. Not me. Somebody said, "I'm a fan no matter what." Not me. You better win or I'm cutting you off. Amen. Somebody said, "I'll stand by the Braves." You nuts, man. Why are you like that, preacher? I'm used to serving God. I'm used to serving one that's never lost to battle.
Yeah.
Amen. Cheering for the underdog, that'd be us. I'm cheering for him.
Yeah.
Amen. Verse 54. I started reading it and quit. The kids may beat us this morning. And I didn't know there's this much preaching in this. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. Now watch this carefully. David left the giant on the field. He took a portion to show what God had done, but he left the giant on the field. He didn't go dragging that 9.5-foot tall corpse. That's what some of y'all did this morning. God has already defeated your giant and you know it. But yet you're consistent to drag that sucker everywhere you go. You've laid right there in that altar and God give you victory over something in your past. But you drug it right out of that altar when you left. Some of you just need to leave. He's already whooped. You just need to leave the giant on the field this morning. That thing that's got you beat down, leave it. Leave it! Once and for all. Walk away, walk away, walk away, walk away. Every now and then, I got a high dollar duck grabbing dog. A retriever. And you know what they teach them birds, Stacy? I was watching on TV. Them dogs, they love to chew on that dead bird. You know what they'll tell that dog? It'll bring that dead bird. They'll bring it to the hunter. And if that dog wants to hold on to that bird, you know what it says? They say, "Dead bird. Dead bird.
Dead bird. And that dog opened his mouth and dropped that dead bird on the ground. Can I say to you, some of you this morning, dead bird.
Amen. Amen.
Dead bird. If you already trusted God for it, dead bird. If God's already give you peace about it once, dead bird. Leave the giant on the field. Drop it once and for all. Why don't you, for the first time in your life, try to let go and let God? Are you listening? He left the giant on the field. But he laid up some goods for another battle. He knew that wasn't the only giant he'd ever faced. The Bible said he put his armor in his tent. While he's cheering, having a big time, headed back to Jerusalem with the head of that giant, he had that sword and that shield, and he thought, I might need this later. And he did need it later. Just because you won one battle, I've seen more Christians mess up in victory than I have in defeat. We got to keep our guards up against the giants of this life at all times. Enlist. Sign up this morning. God, count me in.
Amen.
Hey, I'm getting whooped. Why not fight back? I'm getting stomped down. Why not fight back?
Amen.
Why don't you join up with God's army this morning? Why don't you? Why don't you get excited about the battle? Instead of running around with your lip dragging the ground. You say, preacher, I got big problems. Why don't you look at it this way? Every problem in the Bible, or every miracle in the Bible, you can't find one that didn't start with a problem. Bigger the problem, bigger the miracle. Somebody said, why y'all shout about Ashley Hofford all the time? She had a bigger problem than anybody ever knew. Look what God done. He said, man, I got big problems. Think about the possibilities. God loves to show up. And He loves to show out. Are you listening? Why don't you get excited about the battle? Why don't you examine the battle and realize that the cause is greater than the crowd. The cause is greater than the critics, those that think you crazy. Amen. Exalt Christ in your battle. Well, I think I can do this. No, you can do nothing. That's what Jesus said. Without me, you can do nothing. Well, won't you exalt Him in your battle? Say, I can't, but God can.
Amen.
I can't, but God can. He said He'd never leave me. Never said He'd never forsake me. He said to ask and I should receive. Won't you start exalting Christ in the battle? Amen. Won't you eliminate your enemies this morning? Leave your giant on the field. Let's stand to our feet. Brother Todd, y'all come. I ain't real sure how to give the invitation this morning. But do let me say this. Don't drag your dead giant out of here this morning. God's already given you victory. Won't you bring that old dead body down here? You want to take something with you just so you can brag? Take his head. But leave the bulk of that sucker right here. Leave the giant on the field. You say, preacher, I've never even enlisted. I don't even know what you're talking about. I ain't even sure if I died right now, heaven would be my home. I want to pray for you this morning. Why don't we bow our heads just for a second? Nobody looking around, heads bowed and eyes closed. Preacher, I need to do more than enlist. It's not that I'm not in the army, I'm not even in the family. Preacher, I know I need to be saved. I need to get this thing settled about my soul. Anybody like that this morning? I won't embarrass you for $100,000. I just want to pray for you. If you just slip up your hand, preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure if I died today, heaven would be my home. You can put it up. God bless your heart. I see your hand back there. God bless your heart. Anybody else? Preacher, I'm not sure. I don't want to die and go to hell. If you can really know that you'll spend forever in heaven when you die, I'd like to know it. Pray for me, preacher. Anybody else? Anybody else? How about this morning? Preacher, I'm in the battle. I've got some giants. Their names are not Goliath. I've got other names for them. But they sure are keeping me beat down. Preacher, pray I'd enlist, get excited. Preacher, pray
that I have some victory in my life instead of defeat. Pray I can leave the dead giant on the field. How about it this morning? Ought to be hands all over his house. Mine sure is up. You pray with us. Father, as we come to you this morning, Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name for being our champion. Lord, the Philistines had a champion, but he was no match for our champion. God, I'm glad you've already overcame everything I got to face. All I got to do is trust you in the battle. I'm excited about it, Lord. I'm excited about the days ahead. I know things don't look good for America, but Lord, it just tends to make me feel like it's going to be that much sooner before you come. Lord, help us to get excited about the battle. Help us to take these things of God serious. Lord, we got people in this room. The devil is dragging them down the road. Lord, he's beat them up one side and down the other. Lord, it seems like they get done with one battle and right into another. God, they've had no victory in their life. Father, I pray you'd give it to them this morning. Lord, there's some here this morning. God, they prayed and they prayed and they prayed. They've asked you and asked you and asked you. And Lord, I can't help believe that you've answered. But they just somehow continue to drag what you've already done away with in their life. Lord, they can't carry it anymore. Help them to let it go this morning. Lord, so that they'll know some peace and victory in their life. Lord, there's ones that raised their hand, said they, if they died today, they didn't know heaven would be their home. Save them this morning. God, you get honor and glory. We'll thank you. We'll praise you, for it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.